voel julle ook oorweldig net deur die Here se teenwoordigheid. Weet julle wat is amazing dat die musiek hou miskien op, maar worship hou nie op nie. Nee, die worship gaan aan. Ek voel so 'n bietjie bewerig. Dankie band. Net vir is al julle tyd en energie wat julle insit. En ek sê vir julle sê die Here, ja, julle kan vir hulle 'n hande klap gee. Ek weet ek sê dit baie, maar dit is regtig vir my amazing. Daar was 'n oggend wat ons goed hier uitgepak het en daar niemand agter dit gestaan het nie en ons het so singalong goeters gedoen. So saam met mekaar, dit was mal awkward gewees. Ek dink dit was nog Henta se eerste diens hierso gewees. So julle sal weer die Here die man nie geplant nie. Nie uit sy eie wil uit nie. En ek kan onthou toe het ons daai oggend net gesê ons gaan worship maak, nie saak wat nie, en ons gaan die Here vertrou dat hy mense gaan stuur. We're going to value his presence with or without musicians. And the Lord has truly blessed us with amazing musicians that can lead us in song. En so ek wil sommer net vir julle klomp dankie sê, Kalen, en vir jy wat hulle almal lei. En het julle al gesien Kalen, sy tik met haar voet, sy speel, sy sing, dan wys sy koor. Dit is te veel goed op een slag vir my brein in elk geval om te hanteer. So, dit is amazing. En ek kan net agterkom hoe en ek wil miskien vir julle net as 'n huis onder hierso en vir die band dat het voel vir my ons as 'n huis het verdiep in ons worship en ons adoration van wie hy is. Dat daar so groei gewees net in ons huis en in julle worship en julle ons reaksie teenoor die Here as ons worship. En net ook vir ons as 'n huis om te groei verby die punt dat ons soek 'n programmetjie en dan raak ons ongemaklik as ons nie daarby bly nie. Om okay te wees met as die Here beweeg dat ons saam met hom beweeg in die tyd wat ons het. En ek wil vir julle dankie sê en vir julle eer daarvoor. Dis iets wat vir ons so kosbaar is. So van die elders se kant wil ek vir julle sê dis vir so lekker. Dis vir so lekker om te sien as julle vorentoe kom en julle gaan bos vir die Here. Dis regtig is vir ons mooi en amazing om te sien. Dat julle alles gee vir hom. Ja, ek gaan net eintlik nagmaal doen. Maar voordat ek dit doen, ek het so 'n ding wat in my hart stir. En ek kry dit nie geskit nie. Weet julle, ek kom van Tolbag af, reg? Okay. So ek wil net dit sê en dan die volgende stelling gaan dan vir julle sin maak, okay? Ek weet nie veel van kuns af nie. Okay. Ek het soos hulle sal sê, so Merwe sal dit seker so noem, dat ek het 'n ongesofistikeerde palet ook. I just don't get it. Ek is besig om te leer oor kos en al hierdie fynere goedertjies maar ek het nou begin leer oor kuns en nou dit Frankie bietjie verf en so aan en ek het 'n niggie wat skone ek dink sy het, ek weet nie wat sy het kuns geswat, kom ons sê dit. Sy het kuns studeer en sy's nou 'n dosent in kunsgeskiedenis. En ons het nou die dag toe gesels ons bietjie en sy sê vir my dis for amazing om te sien dat nou waar ons kultuur en ons wêreld onsself nou vind in die kunswêreld, alles wat lelik is en alles wat donker is, is wat hulle nou mooi noem in die kunswêreld. En in die kreatiwiteit, selfs in musiek en al hierdie tipe van goeders, is alles wat letterlik lelik is. Ek weet nie wanneer laas was jy in 'n kunsgalery nie, maar jy kan in party plekke instap en daar's 'n substance tot dit wat geskep was, reg? En dit kom van ergens af, 'n gees het dit gemotiveer. Of die Here of die wêreld sy in die donkerte het iets na vore gebring. En ons lewe in 'n wêreld wat dit begin celebrate, dit wat lelik is, dit wat ek wil die woord af. Dis al wat ek my Tolbag brein dit kan verduidelik. As jy stap in en ek sê net ek kan nie binne in hierdie kunsgalery wees nie, want alles hier binne is af. Okay. En toe besef ek net eintlik in ons kreatiwiteit en ek het hierdie ding wat in my hart stuur, hierso dat net soos ons nou in God se teenwoordigheid is, hy is miskien nie, hy is die mees kreatiefste wese wat ons ken. En ek het hierdie ding in my hart wat stuur, dat dis tyd, denk ek, dat daar geskep word vanuit die beauty van wie hy is, en dat dit na vore kom. En as jylle denk eindelijk aan enig iets kreatiefs, is jy vat een concept en jy maak het gesien. Dis soos wat geloof werk, jy vat dit wat ongesien is, en you make it seen. You take something from the unseen and you make it seen. En ek weet nie hoekom nie, maar ek voel net, ek wil die Here vra dat hy kreativiteit oor ons losmaak, dat dit wat ons express, dat het regtig waar mooi is, dat het hy is, dat het lig is. Maak het sin? Ok, so ek wil sommer vra, ek wil nou vra eindelijk vir muzikante wat skryf, wat kunst doen, maar ek wil vra vir ingenieurs en onderwijseresse en dokters, en maak jy saak wat jy doen nie, daar is alles wat ons doen, ons hande werk, kom van ergens af, dis geskep deur iemand vir ons om te doen, en as 'n kreativiteit wat ek glo ons in kan intap, wat syne is, wat jou 'n ander onderwyser maak as ander, wat jou 'n ander dokter maak as ander, wat jou 'n ander bestuurder maak as ander, daar is 'n substance wat hy bring, wat anderste is, want as substance in alles wat ons doen, reg? Ons het nou die dag een mooi getuienis gehoor van iemand wat een van Frankie's goeders in haar huis het net, en die persoon sê, maar hulle vang een van hulle familielede wat ongered is voor hierdie ding staan, en hulle sê, hy sê toe net, maar hy weet nie wat het is, maar iets captivate om in hierdie ding, en wat ons captivate, wat die wereld captivate is die substance. Dis, want hy is die substance. So jy hou van iets, maar jy weet nie hoekom jy daarvan hou nie, type van Tilbag nou. Tilbag staan voor het en hy kyk erna en hy verstaan nie hoekom hy van hou nie, maar I love it. Want die substance is God, die substance is hy. Maak het sin vir julle? So ek weet nie of, as dit resound in jou hart, wil jy nie net staan nie, ek wil in jou hand op jou hart sit nie, ek wil net vir die Here vra dat hy net dit losmaak oor ons as 'n huis, dat in ons expression, dat hy sal na vore kom. En jy weet in waar jy werk en so aan. So sit sommer net jou hand hier op jou hart. En Here, jy is die God wat geskep het. Jy is die God wat geskep het. Here, jy is die skepper. Here, jy is die koning bo mense, bo wiskunde, bo die kuns, bo musiek, Here. Dat jy is die een wat al hierdie goed gegee het vir ons. En ons wil net vandag vir jy erken as die bron van elke werk wat in hierdie lokaal staan, vir elke skepping, elke kunstenaar, elke maakies ook wat nie, Here, jy is die een wat het gegeet, en ons wil vandag vir jy erken daarvan, en erken, Here, dat dit wat uit ons hande uitkom, nie van ons afkom nie, maar het kom van jy af, en ek wil vra, Vader, dat jy elke honger hart nou sal vul, en dat jy kreativiteit sal losmaak, Here, ek bid vir innoverende idees selfs, Here, net om los te kom, Lord, so that we may express the beauty of the Father, the beauty through what we do, God. We pray that there will be substance to the work of our hands, Lord, that there will be substance to our words, God. Father, I pray for dreams, for people to start dreaming, God, and visions, Lord. Lord, I pray for eyes to be opened to the unseen, Lord. Faith to arise in the unseen and to bring it into being, to bring it into the scene, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And I'm going to say, Amen. Laat het so wees. Amen. Okay, ek weet nie hoekom ek dit moes doen nie, maar so. Ek het die microfoon. Ek dink ons het die wêreld te veel tyd eertand gegee om hulle goed te laat hardloop. So ek dink is tyd dat die kerk ook voor hardloop in innovering en al daai tipe van goeders. Ek wil sommer ook net vir julle sê, ons het nou laas week mekaar gemis hier met die Epic. Soos lig, dit was 'n epic disaster. So jammer dat jammer daaroor, ek weet nie wie van julle die aangekom het. Dit was 'n massive kommunikasiegaping geweest tussen ons en die skool, maar hierdie was die mediese tent gewees, so ons gaan volgende keer, kan ons julle allemaal rally en bid ons hier vir die mense. en dan stuur ons hulle weer op hulle fietse. Ons was laas naweek in Windhoek ook gewees, ek wil sommer net vir julle sê, baie liefde en groete van die Windhoek gemeente. So 6 van ons was hier op gewees, het is beautiful gewees, en elke keer is my lekker om ander gemeentes te besoek, maar is altyd lekker om by die huis te wees. Het is erg lekker om by die huis te wees, en ons is erg opgewonde van dit wat die Here net hier in ons midde doen, en waantoe hy ons roep, to live as sent ones, en dan sê hy vir ons, ons moet gaan bou vir ons eie huise, wat vir my amazing is, en ek glo die rede hoekom die Here dit vir ons sê, is dat ons wil nie hê een van ons moet anders te wees daar buiten, as wat ons net is nie. Maak het sin? Ja. Partyke gaan ons in mission mode of, ek het in mission mode ingegaan, bid meer, vas meer, gaan op mission, kom terug, bid minder, vas minder. Weet jy wat ek sê? Dit is baie belangrik al goed, maar ek denk ons meer krag gaan as het my leefstyl is, en ek gaan wees net, ek, saam met die Here, op aan die plek. Weet jy wat ek sê? Dat is jou performance ding wat inkom in die ding. So, ons wil julle bless en Ok, soos ek sê, ek moet nagmaal doen. Julle kan julle Bybels oopmaak. Ek het vandag tot 'n titel. Ek dink dis hoekom het gereën het. En hierdie woord het net in my hart ingespring. Julle kan julle Bybels oopmaak by 2 Petrus 1. En ek gaan letterlik omtrent net lees saam met julle. Ons gaan 'n paar stukkies lees en dan gaan ons saam nagmaal gebruik en dan gaan die band 'n profetiese lied wat ons allemaal saam gaan sing en ons gaan prophesy. Om je af te sluiten, okay. Don't forget to remember. Hier is een naweek wat ons onthou, reg? Ons onthou die kruis, ons onthou die graf. En net die belangrikheid rondom om te onthou. So in 2 Petrus 1 skryf hy, en hy sê in vers 12, I say, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth, that you have. Nou julle ken die reël is as jy die woordjie therefore, if you see the word therefore, you must ask yourself why it is therefore, right? So what he's speaking about is the passage just before this in Peter 1, verse 3 to 11. Now we're going to read that in a moment, but I just want you to see something. Like the apostle Peter, his intention always is to remind, always to remind us. And I think the reason why we need reminding is when we read the scriptures and we have our quiet time in the morning and we go out to work and go into the world, we are constantly bombarded with information and philosophies and ways to do things through social media, TV, people around us. We are constantly, and I don't know if you found yourself, it's 1, 2, 3 and you find yourself in a space where you are not aware of the Lord anymore, you're not aware of truth anymore. You are fighting and aware of everything that's going on around you and the way of living that is different than the scriptures. And for that reason, I believe, if you are like me, we need constant reminding. Constant reminding. Okay? And he says, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, and we're going to look at that qualities in a moment. Then he says, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Perhaps the most dangerous thing I think in our culture now is to say a phrase, yes, but I know that. Yes, but I know Jesus has died on the cross. Yes, I know he is resurrected. Ek weet het. Ek weet het. Die gevaar in die, maar ek weet het mos. Het lei na spiritual apathy op die oom van die dag. Eindelijk maar leiheid, geestelike leiheid, want ek weet het mos. Het julle dit al ooit ervaar? Soos iemand sê iets en ek sê, maar ja man, ek weet het, kom nou, ga nou aan, ek soek iets niets, ek sê vir my nog iets. En ek weet het. En ek denk, dit is baie gevaarlik om dit te doen. So Peter says that, though you know them, and are established in the truth that you have. So he's not sharing and talking about truth that the people do not know. He's talking about truth that they do know. I'm talking about truth that you know, that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, he says, I think it right as long as I am in this body. So now he's just telling them, listen, this reminding is not going to stop, okay? This is going to continue. I'm going to continually remind you to stir up by the way of reminder. Here's the scary thing to me. You can know truth and even be established in truth without truth being stirred up in you. Many people know Jesus died on the cross. They know the grave is empty, but their lives still remain the same. That is not truth that is stirred up inside of you. Truth that is stirred up inside of me is the fact that I know the truth, I'm established in the truth, and this truth, by this truth, I now live. It causes change in us. Does that make sense? It causes change in us. Okay? And I think a danger in this is that we can go to the cross and say, yes, but I know about the cross. Yes, I know about the resurrection. It's all good. But my question today is it stirred up in your heart? Is it stirred up? Or is it mere knowledge? Because knowledge will not save us. Right? Said even the demons know about Jesus. So it's good that we know. James says that, oh, it's good that you say you have faith, but I will show you my faith by what I do. The fact that my life looks different. Right? That it looks different, that I build differently. Even Nehemiah in the difficult times, what did he called the people to remember. Remember. Remember the Lord. Okay, so I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Now, I think it's very good that we continually remind one another and that you remind yourself. I think it's very good to remind yourself of who you were, where the Lord found you, how he saved you, your testimony. The end of the day, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, to remind yourself of who he is and what he has done in your life. I make it a practice then whenever somebody has done something to me, I remind myself of what the Lord has forgiven me of. And it makes it easier for me to forgive other people and to keep my heart clean if I'm aware of what he has forgiven me. And if I go to that place, the fingers that I want to point, I just draw back and I end up on my knees. Say, Lord, thank you. You've saved a sinner like me. And it's now my privilege to extend what you have shown me, the grace that you have shown me. Does that make sense? Okay. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So, may the cross and the empty grave not be just something we know, but a truth that is stirred up inside of us that we live by. That is our reality. Does that make sense? Okay? So let's see. So just to give you an idea, so he's saying he wants to remind them of a certain truth. And let's read the truth that Peter was reminding the church about. You can go to 2 Peter 1, and we're going to read from verse 3 through to verse 11. And this is amazing. Are you guys there? He says, this divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desires. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue or goodness, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior. Isn't this amazing? His divine power, verse 3, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to live your life is in the life of Christ. Through our faith in Him, you have received everything that you need for the path that He has set out for you. I think if the gospel we hold on to today is lacking in any way, it might be because we're not holding on to the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the apostles. Because His gospel is sufficient in everything. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become a partaker of the divine nature. You see, the heart of Christ is not only that you know truth, but that you participate in truth. Participate in His divine nature. To participate in His divine nature. To participate in His divine nature. Not an earthly wisdom, but a heavenly wisdom. Not an earthly way, but a heavenly way that the Lord expresses through us. He's wanting us to participate. The invitation to participate is right there. The invitation to get into the game is right there. It is for us. And it came to us by the cross and the empty grave. Does that make sense? Isn't that amazing? That we are called to live differently. We are called to express something differently than just earthly wisdom can give us or show the world. But we are called to be partakers of His divine nature. And to have these virtues. And Peter says, listen, of this I will remind you every time I see you. Always reminding you. Remember. Remember the empty cross. Remember the empty grave. Remember that you are called to be partake in the divine nature. That remember that Christ has given you everything that you need for a life of godliness. Everything. So whenever the how, Lord, how is this going to work out? Or Lord, what must I do? Everything has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Everything. And everything has been given to you to live a godly life amidst difficult circumstances. Does that make sense? Constantly being reminded. I love what this, I don't know who said it. I think it was in one of worship said that the person said that sometimes we sing songs or we say something because we believe it, and other times we must say it until we believe it. Until we believe it. Until we believe that Jesus Christ rose from death. And when we believe that and constantly remind ourselves that, our lives must look different. Must look different. And it does look different. Now, I think forgetting stuff and just forgetfulness is nothing new, right? I think the history of Israel is written up so that we don't forget. But there was many times where they also forgotten, and we're going to read a few portions of this. You can go to verse 1. And I think when Peter, having very good knowledge of the Old Testament, knowing the importance of reminding himself of truth and seeing through the nation of Israel and their history, what happens when they forget the Lord. I think in those days, I think it must have been awesome because they didn't, you know, not everybody could write, so they had a big verbal culture. So they were speaking, the truth was spoken a lot. It was spoken a lot, reminding one another of truth. So let's just read this in verse 1. It says, now, Moses writes this just, it's after the 40 years in the desert, just before they go into the promised land. Okay, so they just suffered for 40 years in the desert. It was not like an experience. And he says to the people, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised by oath to your ancestors. Okay, so he's saying to them, listen carefully. I'm going to give you a command now and do this. And then listen to the command that he gives them. Remember. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. I think the testing of our faith is really important. It is in the testing of our faith that we realize if there is true faith. Right? As ek wil sê ek is geduldig, dis net wanneer my geduld getoets word, wanneer daar werklik gesien word of ek geduldig is of nie. Maak dit sin vir julle? Okay? So the testing of our faith is really important. I think it's important. And it's not to shame us, but it is for us not to be disillusioned in thinking we are something that we're not. Every circumstances, every difficult situation is a great moment for each one of us to say, Lord, thank you for this test. Thank you. And right now, I don't need to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to come to Christ. I will remember the Lord in this difficult situation. I will remember where he's gotten me, how he saved me, and how he's carried me to this moment. Lord, I will remember that. And that brings hope to my heart, to know that whatever lies before me, Lord, you've been faithful to this point. Why will you drop me right now? You will remain faithful. Does this make sense? Remember. To stir up in remembrance what God has done in your life is so important. What is your testimony? When last did you visit that? When last did you go back to that place when you were convicted of sin and you wanted to, you know, hide away? Go back to that place where Christ's love found you. Right? Okay, so Moses, knowing that he's not going to go into the promised land, gives the people direction and a command, and he says to them, remember, remember. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Now, I think we tend to forget the Lord when it's going difficult, but I think we forget the Lord more when it's going well. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to the ancestors and holds to this day. Isn't this prophetic? This is prophetic for Israel and it's prophetic for the church. How many people have you seen fall away when it went well? Everything is hunky-dory, got a lot of money, business is going well, and we start falling away. And whenever times get difficult, people are looking for hope, wanting to grab onto something, something that will give them hope. I mean, I don't know how much of you guys have followed this cricket scandal with a ball tampering. From the first time I'm hearing from the Aussies words like forgiveness, love, On a press conference the other day, they said there's a regeneration that they want to see happen in the Australian cricket team. That is our words. That's words we use. That's the church's words, regeneration, right? Love, forgiveness. So I'm praying that they will meet Jesus in their darkness. But it's amazing when the world hits rock bottom, how they start crying out. How they start crying out. Looking for forgiveness from people. And it's amazing how these men feel the weight of hate, hatred, the weight of unforgiveness in the media and society at this moment. So I'm really praying that they will meet Jesus. But in those times, people love to then everything is posted on Facebook, how amazing the Lord is, and until it goes well again. And then we as people just have this tendency to forget the Lord as we start running after other things, things that are important to us or seemingly like security that we find. We want to multiply our stuff. Now, I want to say this. I think prosperity is from the Lord. And as the Lord said, Jan also mentioned it one evening in Send One Bible School. The Lord wants to prosper us. And He's looking for a people that has enough character to carry the prosperity of the Lord. Because not everybody can carry that. Because we tend to forget. If we can trust the Lord to generate a culture that we remember, that we remember where we come from, how the Lord saved us, that we remember the Lord, that we remember, as the scriptures say here, it's my money. Remember who gave you strength to produce your wealth. Remember the Lord. The Bible, you know, many people say that pride comes before the fall. The Bible actually says that pride comes before destruction. I think fall is part of it. Remember. That place of remembering will always keep you safe in a place of humility. And do you know what Jesus do with humble people? He pours out His grace. His favor. He blesses. Blessing is from the Lord. He wants to bless us. But this is the question, will we be able to carry that in our remembrance of the Lord, or will we forget Him? Does that make sense? This is so prophetic to me in the world, in Israel's history, in the church's history, how we tend to forget. So I want to give you permission to remind one another constantly of this truth. Remind one another, remind yourself of the great call that we have in Christ Jesus. The blessed life that we now live in Him. Right? Peter says, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. Whenever you have a sense that, yes, but I know that, right? When that pops up in your mind or wherever, ask the Lord, Lord, show me more. Show me more of your cross and your sacrifice. Lord, show me more. There's deeper, right? There's deeper revelation in everything. Just, it feels for me elke keer, net as ek dink ek het dit, dan kom ek achter ek het dit. Het jy dit al achtergekom? Die Here. Jy dink net, en weet jy wat's amazing, hoe nader jy aan die Here kom, hoe meer kom jy achter die clue wat aangaan nie. Jy kom net achter hoe klein jy is en hoe groot Hy is. Jy begin stil raak om net te sê, ja, maar ek weet mos Jesus het opgestaan. My deep cry out to deep in the revelation knowledge that we are seeking. And that may that knowledge change us. May that knowledge bring us to know our Savior better. And Peter says, he think it is right that as long as we are in these bodies, to remind one another of this truth. And not only remind one another, but to stir up that truth. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that as we are going to break bread this morning, that truth will once again be stirred up in your heart. Not something you just know, but something you live by. Something you desire to live by. And then he goes on and he says, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. It's amazing. The Lord told him, you are going to die soon. Right? And I think, what will you do different? What will we do differently if we know our time is near? You know, speaking about death isn't something we do a lot. It's not something we want to think about. It is, you know, if you set out a testament, a will and a testament, it feels a bit weird. Het jy agtergekom? Voel weird om te sê, wat gaan gebeur met jou goeders as jy nie meer hier is nie? We are uncomfortable with that. I believe Peter was so entrenched in knowing that Christ rose again and that dying on earth was just a stepping into eternity that it didn't fear him, that he wrote to them and said, listen, this is my last time. And what does he do with his last time? He reminds them, remember the Lord. Remember him. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Remember, and remember the Lord always before us. Kan ons gou die nagmaal uitdeel? Jesus said in Luke 22, hoekom het hy gesê moet ons dit doen? In remembrance of him. Remember. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended of David, according to my gospel. It's a small word. So church, I want to urge you, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. And not only to remember, but to stir the truth inside of you. Stir it. When you have big business decisions, family decisions, life decisions to make, don't first go with what will be best for you and how you can gain the most. You remember the Lord. You remember him. You remember he is the one that brought you to this place. You remember that he's the one that brought you this option. And you remember to ask him, Lord, what should I do? And you do what he tells you to do. When it's going difficult, remember the Lord. Remember that he's the one that brought you also to this place. And that he is your deliverer. And remember that we live in the valley of Jehoshaphat, where they praise the Lord and the Lord on their behalf fought for them. Remember him, praise him, make his name great above circumstances. When you become wealthy and you have a lot of houses and everything you have a lot of gold and silver in the bank and everything you have has been multiplied, remember the Lord and remember us. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember him. I think what I like about this word remember and what happened is it doesn't matter if you've got a lot of little or much, Christ is all in all.
Yes.
It's with earthly eyes that we look and you hear what I'm saying? May Christ be our focus in everything that we do, that we will remember him. Julle, soos ons vanoggend, Jesus het gesê, doen dit, sodat ons hom sal onthou. Doen dit, sodat ons hom sal onthou. Soos doen dit, sodat ons hom sal onthou. Dat ons sal onthou, dat hy vir ons gesterf het, dat ons sal onthou dat hy sy bloed het gevloei vir ons vergifnis, sy liggaam was gebreek vir ons genesing, en dat hy opgestaan het en dat hy vir ons lewe gebring het. So Lord, we want to say thank you this morning that we can participate in the divine nature. We want to say thank you Lord that you came and you called us. And Father, as we take communion this morning, I want to ask, Holy Spirit, will you bring to remembrance again into our heart truth, Lord? Father, I want to pray that you will bring to remembrance again, Lord, even prophecies spoken over people, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. That has long been forgotten. Father, I even sense there's some of us that must come to Christ again this morning. Prodigals that have wandered around, given themselves to other things. Jesus taught us as well. He said in the parable of the sower, he said that it is the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word out of us. So I want to urge you, as we take communion today, we have received everything in Christ for life and godliness, everything we need. If you took a wrong turn, repent of it and ask the Lord that He will work it together for good and He will get you back on track. If you're on your way to make a bad decision, stop and remember the Lord. Remember Him. Father, I pray that as we take the bread this morning and the juice representing your body and your blood, Lord, that we take it out of a stance of victory, your victory, Lord. I pray, Father, that even as those two men met you on the road to Emmaus and you broke the bread and their eyes were open to see you, I pray, Lord, that as we take communion, you will open up our eyes to see you and to know you, that you will open up the scriptures to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.